This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. Last year, 9 million North Americans lined up on the shore bound for nowhere, really. They got on cruise ships with the intention of lying on deck, sipping cool drinks, getting off to buy tchotchkes, and maybe meeting somebody nice. Keeping all those people entertained isn't easy. Cruise companies pay good money to lure musicians aboard, sometimes really good musicians. But no matter how exalted the players are, anything can happen once they leave solid ground. Theo Zimmerman talked to three virtuosos about music at sea.
Ian Finkel is a xylophonist and not shy about his talents.
I'm a xylophone soloist. Mostly known in the world as the world's greatest xylophonist.
He's played Carnegie Hall and Avery Fisher Hall. He plays Beethoven's Kreutzer Sonata, the violin part, on the xylophone. But when you're the world's greatest xylophonist, let's face it, a lot of your audience is going to be smashed on margaritas.
On cruise ships, nobody cares. I do an act. I go there as a guest entertainer, they call it, guest entertainer, which means you get a lovely cabin and you can eat the food if you can stand it. Hey, and then you do your show. I like the curtain up. I like when the audience walks in to see the xylophone. They're going to see, and it gets them excited. I hear the band warming up. Well, in this ship, they put the curtain down. It's called an Austrian. They're very strong curtains. They can lift elephants, you know. So he put the curtain down, he pushed the xylophone up against the curtain, and here he is, ladies and gentlemen, the world's greatest xylophonist, Ian Finkel. And I go, 1, 2, 3, 4, dit-dit. The band starts playing, the curtain lifts my xylophone up, it hooks onto it, the thing goes up 10 feet, eventually it unhooks, it goes crashing to the floor below, the curtain goes down. They all run backstage, the sound and lights, etc. I go in front of the curtain to try to cool the audience out and tell a couple of gags because they're in shock. I go back. I see my beloved Stradivarius Zoella in a heap. We reset it. I got through the show. After the show, the cruise director and these guys, really, many of them want you to fail. They're jealous ex-ballroom dancers. And he came back and said, you know, the show ran 15 minutes late.
Some cruises pay the artist a little more respect. There's the jazz cruise. Kind of a floating musical banquet for jazz lovers with large appetites. Pianist Mulgrew Miller played one in the 1970s when he was just starting to make a name for himself. They hit a storm right as the ship was passing through the Bermuda Triangle. After a few days, the weather cleared and Mulgrew came up for air.
I was walking around the deck of the ship, and I happened to see Kenny Barron just lounging, catching some sun. So I seized the moment, and I said, hello, Mr. Barron. My name is Mulgrew Miller. I've been a big fan of yours. We're having a jam session tonight, and I was wondering if you'd like to come by and play a couple of songs or so. And he said, man, I don't want to see no piano. And that just stunned me. Because first of all, I didn't know that jazz musicians took vacations. Second of all, I didn't know that musicians liked to do anything else other than play music. I did not understand it then. That was strange to hear that. But 25 years later, I do understand it, you know.
So it turns out that musicians do want vacations. And even for top-ranked classical players, a free vacation is hard to turn down. That's how the Eroica Trio signed up for its first and only cruise. The cellist, Sarah Sant'Ambrogio, says they were told the cruise catered to classical music fans. But when they got there, the audience was expecting showgirls in sequin bikinis. There was a woodwind quintet on before them, and people were leaving the boat's Carmen Lounge in droves.
And Erica Nickrentz, the pianist in the trio, said, Sarah, you've got to talk. You're good at talking and playing. And I was like, I mean, it's not like I can tell some jokes. I can't even remember any jokes at this moment. I'm so panic-struck about playing for an empty hall. So I said, okay, I'll do some talking.
So Sarah told the closest thing to a racy story she could think of. They were about to play the Brahms B major trio. And there was an old rumor that Brahms had had an affair with Clara Schumann, the wife of the composer Robert Schumann. On her deathbed, she called for Brahms.
And and I'm thinking about what the next thing is that I'm going to say after this piece. And so I said, but unfortunately for Brahms, she died before he could come. And I sat down and got myself ready and looked over at Erica the pianist to give her the cue to start. And I don't see her. And she's fallen off the piano stool and she's laughing. And all of a sudden, this little old lady in the back of the hall starts tittering. And I have no idea why they're laughing. And I look at the audience and I'm going back over in my head, what did I say? And I was like, oh my gosh. Now they see my reaction and realize that I've realized what I said. I mean, I've never heard an audience, like Robin Williams has never made an audience laugh more than I just did unintentionally. The next day, walking around the ship, people were coming up to me constantly saying, when are you doing your next act?
At least they stayed. Ian Finkel, the xylophonist, has met people who haven't caught a single show on a round-the-world cruise.
I say to people, well, have you enjoyed the shows? And they say to me, oh, we haven't seen any yet. You haven't seen any yet? You've been out for 90 days. That means there have been hundreds of shows. My goodness. What do they do after dinner? They go to the bar. Or they go to the casino. For 90 days?
Still, if management is hostile and the audience unappreciative, there are always consolations for the player at sea.
The thing about a ship cruise is, as long as you want to eat, there's food to be had. And I was a young man, but it was the first time that I noticeably gained weight in a week's period.
For Studio 360, I'm Theo Zimmerman.